Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How has healthcare changed during the pandemic? Let's go in depth with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Kevin, how has the pandemic influenced just the day-to-day happenings here at the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, but also what influenced how medicine has changed? What's happening? There has to be a big influence on the pandemic on the hospital and how you're providing care to people.
Yeah, certainly. We've been blessed to be able to return to some normalcy in our operations as it relates to how we operate our business on a day-to-day basis. With some, obviously, before you came in here, you got your temperature checked and got a, you know, a little tag to put on your shirt that says that you've been checked. I mean, that's not normal. That's what we had been accustomed to. But we're basically functioning like we were pre-COVID with some nuanced changes. But healthcare in general, when we think about healthcare as a system or delivery or think of it on a larger scale, there's been some incredible changes, or people are beginning to look at healthcare a lot differently. We've had different areas that are being discussed on a daily basis as to how do we move forward. COVID-19 exposed the very best of what healthcare has to offer. Doctors, nurses, maintenance staff, people that clean our building, technicians and technologists essentially being willing to put themselves at risk to take care of others. I mean, we figured that's how it would be, but we've seen it when COVID showed up across the country. People were going to where they needed to be, use their skills, and that was the very best of healthcare. And we've seen it before, but not on this scale. And then what we've seen that was some of the very worst was some of the strains of people being just shocked that hospitals in a country like the United States of America would run out of ventilators, would run out of masks and surgical gowns. And how did that happen? So clearly some economic challenges, there's been some clinical changes, and then even things about how we handle information and how we report it. People have probably seen where public health interests and individual patient privacy can come into conflict. And so we've had to think about these things. So any one of those is an hour-long topic.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about how healthcare has changed during the pandemic with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
You talked about shortages of PPE, and that's pretty stunning. How did that happen? I mean, we never got in Marion County to the point where there was too few, right? I think
yeah.
Everybody rallied together and got the PPEs and protective
yeah.
equipment that we needed. How did America come so short?
Right, and so it goes to a much bigger conversation, of course, is that on one side of the argument, you talk about all of us, or most people that I know, think about healthcare as a right, as I should have a right to quality healthcare and access to healthcare, regardless of what my tax returns look like, regardless of my race or my gender or my zip code. I think, being a rural healthcare guy, it's what I love, it's all I want to do. I believe that people that live in rural areas should have access to high quality healthcare, just like somebody that might live two blocks away from the University of Iowa. So I think about, on that side, I want healthcare to be just as good as it can be. And then on the other side, I am also with a young active family and we race motorcycles. I am a consumer of healthcare. We were just here today seeing the orthopedist. So as a consumer of healthcare, I want good value, of course, but I want it at the lowest cost possible. I want efficiencies. I want all these things. And so sometimes those are two completely different economic models. So over the years, healthcare has adopted a lot of the lean manufacturing philosophies that we've seen in that industry. Healthcare used to think of themselves as being exempt from those kinds of thinking as it relates to being a lean organization. But as economic pressures built and built over the decades, we've had to go to that. So one of the examples that I give is General Motors does not build cars based on the number possible to sell in the United States. General Motors builds cars based on what they think they can sell. So when somebody asks me, how many masks do you order at the hospital? How many do I think I'm going to use? I use just-in-time inventory, just like the manufacturing plants. And so the same with staff. We've looked at trying to figure out how to be very efficient with staff all across the board. Do more with less. That's been a mantra for a long time. And then here comes a pandemic. And that changes everything for people to be able to say, how in the world did we run out of ventilators? Well, we had the number of ventilators ready to go from what we would typically have historically used. We did not have ventilators for what we possibly might need. So moving forward, what's changed is all of us, whether you're a small organizations like ours or some of the largest, you're beginning to think about what might I need should something like this come again? Should we get another spike? What is it that we need to be thinking about to meet our mission of taking care of people and not just being a lean organization that just has the bare minimum to keep the expenses as low as possible? So those two economic models have come in conflict with each other. And so it's really interesting and kind of difficult to figure out how to navigate that. But certainly, I think people got a snapshot of what it might look like without your local hospital. We had hospitals across this country, on average, a lot of them furloughing up to 40% of their staff, us included. If you let, and you're already a lean organization, and you furlough 40% of your workforce, you're not a fully functioning organization anymore. And so people got a snapshot of what would that might look like if I didn't have care locally. We got to think about it of, my goodness, if we don't get back to doing elective surgeries, we're not going to be able to carry out our mission. And so it has kind of turned it upside down, our thinking about being better prepared for working with policymakers on how do we see our way not only through this, to be prepared for what might come next.
So you've learned
a lot.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about how healthcare has changed during the pandemic with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
Early on, when we were first learning about the pandemic and lots of lives were being lost in New York, and it really wasn't here yet, and there was just a lot of anguish everywhere because we didn't know what was going on. It was scary. We were frightened. One of the few high points of that time was when you and I sat here at the same table and you had your staff and you had a doctor and I forget all the people that were here, and you showed me this really cool thing. It was where I could get on my cell phone and I could talk to a doctor or a nurse, and that's telemedicine. And That was exciting. That was a real exciting time. Did that all pan out?
Yeah. And so clinically, that could be the biggest positive thing that has come out of this pandemic. And I can tell you that hospitals, associations are fighting to the end to preserve it because it's incredibly important. Telemedicine, as it relates to technology, has been around for a long time. It's been around for a long time. So what's happened is that absent a pandemic, most doctors, if you ask them, would you want to see your patient face-to-face where you can touch them or chat with them on the computer? What's your preference? Well, 99 out of 100 are going to say, I want to touch my patients. And then even if you ask patients, probably not to that same number, but would you rather be in the room face-to-face, interacting human-to-human with your provider, or would you rather do that over the computer? And most patients would say, yeah, I would rather just come in. And that the propensity to think that way is even stronger in rural areas, because if you think about going to the hospital in downtown New York, just the whole act of finding a place to park or to get there via bus, subway, it's a major event. To come to the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, no big deal, right? You just pull in our parking lot and walk a few feet and you're in. So people wanted to see their provider. And third to that is payers really didn't want to pay for telemedicine. They just didn't want to do it. So along comes the pandemic, and we have shut things down except for emergency care. And that began to drag on for not only days and weeks, and then we started to look at months. And you and I have talked about this before, is the topic of healthcare has been COVID-19. But guess what? People still have, their diabetes didn't go away, their heart disease didn't go away, their cancer didn't go away. People were going without care, and that's just unacceptable. There's going to be long-term consequences for that if we don't turn that ship around. So we knew, and we'd been working on it before, because we began to see a little bit of shift in patient preference, that they really did want to see people because so efficient and handy virtually. People were becoming more comfortable with that. Providers still really wanted to see their patients, but they didn't want to lose their patient to somebody else virtually. So we were already working on this pre-pandemic. And so we were ready to go. But so what ended up happening was pandemic shows up and we got to start seeing patients. And a blessing through this was payers gave us a temporary waiver to pay for virtual visits just like they were face-to-face. And it has been very well received by the providers. They're still connecting with their patients that they want to connect with. And the general public is becoming more comfortable with it. I remember the first time that, you know, I thought about using a bank card for a withdrawal instead of going in and talking to a teller. That I would rather see the teller. That's how I wanted to do it. But when I started to use a bank card because the bank was closed, then I became comfortable with it. Now I do it all the time. So same with virtual care. Patients seen that it works, it's pretty slick, and they like it. Now what we don't want to see happen is the payers say, okay, back to normal, face-to-face only. We are fighting hard to make sure that there's parity to whether the visit is virtual or face-to-face, they're paid the same. That way this technology can flourish, become even better and more widespread accepted, and that will give us patients better access to us. There aren't as many barriers to, you know, for some people, when I think about myself, I don't have, my kids are teenagers, so I don't have to worry about childcare. I've got a reliable truck to drive in to see my doctor. I know it's not going to be an issue, but that's not the same for everybody. We have people without vehicles. I also know that I happen to have an employer that allows me to take time off if I need to see my provider. So there are all sorts of things that people have to face to come in and see their provider, taking time off work, child care, transportation, all those things that can be barriers can be removed with virtual medicine. So we are beyond excited about being able to see that grow so that people can stay connected to us. We still need to see you, touch you, make sure everything's good. You can't do a lab test or there are some that can be done virtually, which is actually really exciting stuff and all kinds of new artificial intelligence and all these things that are going on. But essentially, virtual medicine's not going to draw your blood, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, you're probably going to need to come in and get that done. So those are the kinds of things that the pandemic really allowed us to rethink how we're doing this. And what we can't lose sight of, you know, from the way I think about this, is that healthcare needed to change. But the resistance to change was incredible. Because if you change something in the way the healthcare system is set up, it's either hospitals were going to lose, physicians were going to lose, insurance companies were going to lose, pharmaceutical companies were going to lose. So nobody wanted to change. They wanted to leave it status quo. That was the pressure. The pandemic comes along and things must change. They have to change. And they did. So now it kind of gives us a little bit of a clean slate to redesign and rethink what we want out of healthcare. Do we want our healthcare system to run purely like a business? Or do we want to have stable organizations with staff and supplies and equipment to take care of whatever is thrown our way? So these are unanswered questions, but it's just been amazing to work through them with policymakers, payers, my colleagues, rethinking how we deliver healthcare. So incredibly exciting times.
How do you feel your staff has done over this time period in responding to this unprecedented in our lifetime challenge?
That is an awesome question because it gives me an opportunity to talk about how amazing these individuals are that came to work every day with so much uncertainty. The rules were changing every day. They gave me grace to make mistakes. They assumed risks when we didn't really know about, you know, a lot about this virus when it first started. All they knew is they needed to get into work and take care of people. And that's everybody. That was every single person had that attitude. And it didn't matter whether you were a physician, you worked outside with signage. We changed the signage 15 times as to how people would come into our medical center and be screened. We learned so many different things. Just every single employee stepped up to the challenges that we faced, and I just couldn't be more proud of them. I just couldn't be any more thankful for them. And I think Knoxville is well served and was definitely well served during these challenging times.
Thanks to Kevin Kincaid for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.